want to look at verses 1 to 23. You have two bookends here, a parable and then a parable explained, and then you have sandwiched in between Jesus' explanation of why he taught in parables. So this morning I want to read just the parable itself, beginning in verse 1, reading from the ESV translation, Matthew 13:1. Hear the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. In the beginning of verse 18, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Father, we ask this morning that you would calm our spirits into a quietness that hears and listens. Lord, we pray that you would open wounded hearts to the balm of your word, and that you would speak to us clearly by your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 13 begins the third major section of teaching in Matthew's gospel. The first major teaching section was the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5, 6, and 7. The second major teaching section was chapter 10, the sending out of the apostles. When you come to 13, this extended teaching section is fleshing out the nature of the kingdom. And it's a fleshing out of the nature of the kingdom through a series of seven parables. There's a very handy chart in your insert that you might just want to hang on to for the next several weeks by Benjamin Glad, laying out the seven parables and giving the gist of the meaning of each one. Each one is telling us something about the kingdom. In fact, six of the seven begin with something like, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And each one's highlighting this unique feature of the kingdom. Most of them are revealing to us something that is generally unexpected about the kingdom, certainly unexpected according to Old Testament interpretations at the time, each one highlighting something unique. Primarily, each one focuses on, and this has been a running theme in Matthew's gospel, how you should respond to the kingdom and how you should not respond to the kingdom. Our parable this morning is a perfect example of that. It's a case in point. You have three ways how not to respond, one way that you should respond. That's it in a nutshell. And very thankfully, Jesus gives his own commentary, so this sermon basically preaches itself. He tells us what the parable means. But it's interesting in verse 10, so you have these bookends. You've got the parable, and then you've got Jesus explaining the parable, but sandwiched in between, you have an introduction to parables. And in verse 10, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, "Why do you teach in parables? Why do you speak to them in parables?" And the reason that Jesus gives is not what you would expect, I don't think. People often, I've heard this for many, many years, people often assume that the parables are designed to make it easier to understand. That they're designed to make it easier to understand Jesus' teaching. But not exactly. Look what Jesus says in verse 11. He answered them, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." In other words, he explains, parables are a two-edged sword. On the one hand, parables have a softening effect. If you have ears to hear them, if you have eyes to see, if you're open and the Holy Spirit is at work, the parables can soften your heart to eternal matters. But he says, on the other hand, they also can have a hardening effect. They can condemn someone. They can leave someone completely befuddled and confused. And it should not surprise us, especially as we've seen this theme played out in the book of Matthew, that the effect of a parable depends on the condition of the heart of the hearer. It is a heart issue. And for those who have hard hearts, those who are spiritually blind, those who are spiritually deaf, the parables will confuse you and condemn you. But the beautiful thing about parables is for those with soft hearts and those who are open to the work of the Holy Spirit, they are one of the most incredible teaching tools that you'll ever see. They open the kingdom to us. They tell us exactly what the kingdom is like if you have ears to hear it. He quotes Isaiah 6 here. Remember, Matthew is really big on these fulfillment formulas, showing how the life and ministry and teachings of Jesus are fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures, the Old Testament prophecies. He quotes here Isaiah 6. "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes.'" True disciples of the kingdom will get the parables. If you're a true disciple of the kingdom, when you leave here today, you will have a better understanding of the kingdom, because you understand the parable. Others won't get it. And that's the point of this parable. Three categories of people that don't get it. One category that does. This is probably the best known parable in all of the scriptures. And it describes four different ways that people respond to the preaching of God's word. In the first three of these cases, you get no fruit. Only the fourth example has fruit. And in this fourth group is where you want to be. If you want to know about the kingdom of God, you want to pay attention to this fourth group. What stands out about the fourth group? Well, look at the parable. One thing that jumps right out is the indiscriminate way in which the sower sows his seed. In the parable, the seed is the word of God. It's the word proclaimed. It's the word preached. It's the message of the gospel. And it is sown far and wide. It is preached to all who will hear. Now, that might not be the best farming practice But the parable is not about farming practices. The parable is about spiritual matters. And the point of the parable is that the seeds must be sown indiscriminately. That is the way the kingdom is preached. The word must be preached wherever it can be preached. It was impressed upon me years ago in preparation for gospel ministry. Preach the word at any given opportunity you have. And I can say before you, God is my witness, that has been my practice. If I get an invitation to preach the word, if I can be there, I will accept it. I have preached God's word in Methodist churches, in Baptist churches, in PCUSA churches, in Cumberland Presbyterian churches, in non-denominational churches, civic organization, anywhere that I have an opportunity to preach the gospel. I remember dear Henry Louis Smith. Often, when he was asked to preach, he would say, like an old war horse smelling gunpowder, you don't turn down the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You never say no to that if you can. We're to give the opportunity for everybody to hear the gospel, and how they respond to it is not on us. What's on us is to share the gospel, give the opportunity. And when the word is preached far and wide and indiscriminately, some will respond to it by God's grace. That's this fourth category. Only the fourth category benefits from the preaching of the word. Only the fourth category bears fruit. And I would also say this parable, I don't think, is primarily about bearing fruit. The first three categories, it's not just that they don't bear fruit, it's that their souls are lost. This is about lost souls and a saved soul. And you look at these first three categories, the seed is sown, and on some it's wasted, on some it perishes for one reason or another, no fruit is born. First case, verse 18, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. They fail to understand it. Second case, verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately, first, receives it with joy. Yet, a little time goes by, he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The word's heard, they appear to understand it, there's some initial joy and enthusiasm. But like seed on rocky ground, it doesn't take deep root. Affliction comes, it does. Persecutions come, they do, and they fall away. Third case, verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The word's understood, it takes root, it grows for a little bit, but then the cares of the world, riches, things, stuff, all the distractions that are constantly vying for our attention just comes in and chokes it out. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches take first place. So in all three of these, you have a warning. In all three of these first responses, there seems to be some initial response to the preaching of the word, the indiscriminate preaching of the word. But a little time goes by, and it turns out eternity has not taken root. But what's different about the fourth audience? What's different about the fourth soil? Why is it fruitful? Verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Ears to hear, eyes to see. It's a grace of the Holy Spirit. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. They hear the word. And I think this is a very important point. If they don't understand it, they seek to understand it. That's the difference. This fourth category, all of them hear it. But it's this fourth category that seeks to understand. If they don't get it, they ask. In fact, verse 10, the disciples are asking Jesus, this is a perfect example, why do you teach like this? Can you explain this to me? Look at Matthew verse 36 in chapter 13. The disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Explain it to us. Chapter 15. Verse 15. Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. If they don't understand, they ask. It's important to them to make this a priority. When you hear a sermon, if you don't understand, ask. There's no pride of place here. I happen to believe that the Lord has graciously gifted me with the ability to understand the scriptures and to make them plain and clear to other people. I use that gladly in service to the church. But a week doesn't go by that there's something I don't understand. And I ask. I look at commentaries. I call Pastor Bowers. Pastor Collins. What do you think about this? Can you explain this to me? How can I better understand that? That's what sets the fourth category apart. They're carefully listening. They're meditating. They are laboring to understand the word. They're asking questions. They're praying that the Lord would show this to them, just like we do every Sunday, especially in the prayer of illumination. There's no pride of place when it comes to understanding the scriptures and applying them to your life. That is the message of the parable. You have to work to understand it. You have to work to apply it to your life. You have to work to remove stones that might prevent it from taking a deep root. You have to pray about this. You have to clear out the weeds. The gardening metaphors, and Jesus uses these a lot, I think are just perfect. They speak to us about the responsibility that we have to constantly tend to the garden of our souls. Weeding, removing stones, asking questions, praying. I would argue that this is the most important thing in life, is to seek diligently to know the scriptures, understand the word of God, understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you seek it with perseverance, the sure and certain promise that Jesus attaches to this is found in the very last verse, verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. You will bear good fruit for eternity. You may remember when we get into the season of Advent, we have a tradition in our church of lighting one of the Advent wreath candles. reading a scripture and then having a prayer from the Book of Common Worship. One of my favorite prayers, and I want to close with this, is from the Book of Common Worship. We do this on the second Sunday of Advent. Would you pray this with me? Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.